my beloved brethren and sisters. Our subject is, as been pointed out to us in the two previous addresses, the subject, the wonderful subject of God manifestation. First in a Son, and then in a glorious and wonderful multitude. Now, I just would like to quote to you the words of the Apostle, first of all, where he says, "For though there be that are gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." And again the Apostle in Romans 11, there he says to us, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And there we are taught, brethren and sisters, that whatever exists, whether it be material or whether it be physical, is it out of him, out of the Father, is it energized by the Father, and is all by his pleasure, to his good pleasure, and to his eternal wisdom. Now, this takes many forms. And for the purposes of an introduction to our address, I would just like us to look at one example, and it's found in the 2nd of Kings chapter 6. The 2nd of Kings chapter 6, and we look at verse 14. I'm sure we're acquainted with it. "Therefore, he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" It's Elisha. And there the great host of the Assyrians had come to take him. An army to take one man. And he goes on to say, "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah." Now, brethren and sisters, surely we are impressed by the calm confidence of this man of God. His faith, his understanding of divine ways. And in this instance, there he asks that the troubled eyes of his servant might be opened, and there he beheld the chariots of fire. What did he see? He saw the angelic hosts, the spirit hosts of the Eternal One. There they had come now for the succor of one of his prophets. And there, brethren and sisters, we are introduced to an invincible host. We think about it now. Here we're part of that glorious community generated at other times. And here they were now. They are described, as you know, as the fingers of God's hand. They're described as the stars of the morning, manifestations of the Eternal One. Now this then introduces to us now this very, very wonderful theme. For it is the great desire of the Eternal Spirit to fill this planet with his glory. Not just through the delights of nature or the animal kingdom, but in and through a new and mighty race of Elohim, mighty ones of the Spirit. This is the Father's purpose, brethren and sisters, all bearers of his Spirit nature, reflectors of his divine character and fitting companions, eternal companions for his beloved Son. This is the grand and glorious purpose of the Father, and it is revealed, as we know, in his glorious and wonderful name of Yahweh Elohim. I shall become, I will become, the mighty ones to Israel. And so here then, brethren and sisters, centered in Israel through the covenants and the promises made to the fathers, here is the Father's purpose, that we, brethren and sisters, might become fellow heirs of the divine promises, and that we might become Israelites indeed. Now Asaph, brethren and sisters, was a man of God. We believe him to be an Israelite indeed, and he was an observer of the wickedness which was developing within the ecclesia of his own times. And he was a desirer for the speedy fulfillment of the divine purposes with his chosen. And therefore we have his plea as we turn to Psalm 80. We go to Psalm 80, brethren and sisters, and there we have the plea of this faithful Israelite. There he tells us in Psalm 80, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that inhabitest," it's not dwelling, brethren and sisters, "thou that inhabitest the cherubim, shine forth. And there he acknowledges in a wonderful way now the work of the great shepherd who had led his people out of Egypt and through the wilderness. It's a phrase which is pregnant with meaning. And there he says, "Thou that dwellest between, thou that inhabitest the cherubim, shine forth." Well, brothers and sisters, he had not seen the cherubim. He had not seen them, or their faces. But he was instructed in the things of the Word. He knew of their shining forth. Likewise, brethren and sisters, he had seen the pillar of fire, or had he? No, perhaps not. He had not seen the pillar of fire which led his people through the wilderness by night, or the pillar of cloud by day. He had not seen these things, but he knew of them. And his faith was centered in them, brethren and sisters. And he knew that they indicated the presence of the Eternal Spirit. Now, in the nation's extremity, here now he pleads for the help of his Heavenly Father. Look what he says, verse 2. "Before Ephraim and Benjamin, Manasseh, stir up thy strength, come and save us." And verse 3, it's mentioned three times in this beautiful psalm. And in the last verse of the psalm, you will see there that it is not the word "mighty ones" that is used, it's the word Yahweh Elohim. And so he says, verse 3, "Turn us again, O mighty ones, and cause thy faces to shine, and we shall be saved." And then we go on to verse 7 again, "Turn us again." And you see the repeat of that third verse. The word, the introduction to that verse really is "restore us again." Restore us again. So here in faith, brethren and sisters, in this beautiful song, here he sang for deliverance, for restoration, and for salvation. The very last phrase, "and we shall be saved," the subject of salvation. And then on from verse 9, as you look at this psalm now, we're introduced to the vine that was taken out of Egypt. We come to verse 14 and 15, and there, "return, we beseech thee, O Elohim," correct word, look down from heaven and behold this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. The introduction now, brothers and sisters, to, as we read in the next verse, of the man of thy right hand. Now we have learned from the previous addresses of the cherubim and its four faces, four of which the lion, the ox, the eagle and the man look down, as Brother Alan told us, look down upon the mercy seat, the blood sprinkled mercy seat, and it speaks to us of the blood of the covenant. It speaks to us of the shed blood of the Son of thy right hand, Jesus, anointed, shed for many for the remission of sins. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And there can be, brethren and sisters, no cherubim of glory. Behold then the work of the Father's Spirit, manifesting himself in his own beloved Son, whom, as we read here, he has made strong for himself to effect the salvation, the redemption of a multitude of sons and daughters, all bearers of his mercy, of his grace and mercy, and all now changed into his divine nature, spirit nature, all holy, just and good, collectively the bride to be presented shortly to the bridegroom with those paeans of praise that we shall read about or hear about in our last address, when the Master will look upon this vast multitude of redeemed ones and will see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And so how important then this 17th verse is to us, brethren and sisters. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, whom thou madest strong for thyself. And so we have the plea then of Asaph. Restore us again. Cause thy faces to shine, to manifest the cherubim of glory, to appear and save us, and to glorify thy great and holy name. And so here, brethren and sisters, we have the understanding of Asaph. No doubt gleaned, we haven't time to refer to them, but we go back to the blessings of Jacob upon his sons, and the blessings of Moses upon the 12 tribes in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33, regarding the future of the holy nation. Then we get some idea, some background of the character of Asaph. And not only that, as you read through this psalm, you see, brethren and sisters, that he was a man troubled in spirit. He was a mourner in Israel, as we have it in Isaiah 61. A mourner in Israel, and he was looking for the blessings and the judgments of the Father to come. But by grace, brethren and sisters, and mercy, we who were Gentiles see a little more than Asaph saw. Come with me to just one verse in the Apocalypse, Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. And there John sees, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was it as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Another mighty angel. And here, brethren and sisters, as we contemplate upon this matter and the judgments which are to come, as you see them there, the seven thunders which John was not to write about, there we are introduced, brethren and sisters, to the great challenger for the supremacy of the earth. We say the challenger, yes, because this was the deliverer Asaph was looking for, and the one who is to oppose him, yes, Nebuchadnezzar is the image that he saw, the man image, which we see slowly coming together, well, pretty fast now in our own times. And here we have these two great combatants then for the supremacy of the earth. And so this first verse depicts to us in this mighty angel now clothed with a cloud and a rainbow, it brings before us now the saints. The saints developed by the Lord the Spirit out of the dust of Sheol and coming in the words of Daniel to take the kingdom. To take the kingdom from among men. And so here, brethren and sisters, we have brought to us then two great challengers. Oh yes, it's the outworkings of David and Goliath, is it not, in the very last days. It's the work of the little stone power. And the spirit nucleus. The spirit nucleus of this great and wonderful host, brethren and sisters, is now at the Father's right hand. In the words of his own parable, he has gone into a far country and to return. And we eagerly wait for his coming, because, as he said, he would come as a thief in the night. Now, just turning now to Philippians, the second chapter. Let's look at Philippians, the second chapter, and we'll look at verse 6 or verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, as we have already heard, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the stake. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, in the heavenlies, in Christ, the saints, and things in the earth, Israel, in the kingdom, and things under the earth, the Gentile nations subjected in that glorious and wonderful day. And he goes on, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so he goes on there to bring before us the praise and the adoration which should be given to the Son of God's right hand. Now Moses, the man of God, saturated in the covenants made to the fathers, expressed many, many wonderful truths, particularly one, I'll just quote it to you and you remember it, there he says, and it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, O mighty ones, O Elohim, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And we find now David taking up this same theme. As you go to the 68th Psalm now, Psalm 68, and there David gives expression to almost these same terms. 68th Psalm. There he says in verse 1, let Elohim arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. Now here, brethren and sisters, we noted that Asaph, from his point of view, was looking forward to the coming of this great one and this wonderful host, And here now, David is celebrating in this beautiful psalm now, the song of David, the ark. It's been removed now, it's being brought back. And so how thrilling then, and how fitting the truth expressed, as we have seen from Moses right away into the apocalypse, and shortly to be realized and made a fact in our own times. Now, verse 1 then of this psalm. Let Elohim arise, mighty ones arise. And we say, where from? Where from? Where are they to arise from? From the very dust of Sheol. Remember the words in Isaiah, thy dead, the spirit dead, my dead body, as he describes them, shall live. They shall arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of lights, and the earth shall cast out her dead. And so, here now David is praying for that resurrection of the saints, to form the cherubim of glory, the faithful ones to be born again, transmuted into spirit. See what David is looking at. And so this is what he describes now with Moses in this wonderful appearing of the armies of the Spirit, who by Spirit power shall drive away. Just look at the following verses, verse 2 and verse 3. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of Elohim. Let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before Elohim, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. And so the wicked then, brethren and sisters, are to perish at the presence of Elohim. And we go on, and we've already quoted verse 3, but go on to verse 4 now. Sing unto Elohim, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, he who shall be, and rejoice before him. And then we look in this connection at the last few verses, we look at verse 23. To him that rideth upon the heavens of old, which were of old, and he goes on, verse 34, ascribe ye strength unto Elohim, his excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. And there we have, brethren and sisters, brought before us not the cherubim, not in actual name, but here we see the eternal Spirit now revealed to us as riding in a chariot. Word rakav, to ride. And here the glorified saints then are shown to us as the vehicle of the Spirit. More of this, of course, when we come to the address on Ezekiel 1 and 10. Now, just going back then to verse 4. The word Yah, or Yahweh, he who shall be the mighty ones. And here we have the memorial name of the Father. It is expressive, as we have said, of his purpose and his good intention to ride upon the heavens. The heavens, more of that later on, brethren and sisters. And here he is manifested then, or revealed, by his effluent spirit power, and is seen in this great and wonderful host, this family that will be of sons and daughters of the eternal Spirit, to whom is to be sung praise. And so to ride upon then, as in a vehicle, is to control the vehicle. For all seen here, brethren and sisters, by grace and mercy, are extensions, as it were, of his spirit power, energized immortalized, vitalized by his Spirit. And the heavens, as you have them in verse 4, well, the sun, moon, and the stars occupy now the celestial heavens in the universe. They are the heavens presiding over the earth. That's in the natural sense. But in the sense now of the heavenlies in Christ, here now we have the sun, moon, the stars of the age to come governing the earth, governing the earth's peoples in the setting up of the kingdom. It's a Hebrew word, shamayim, and it comes from the root word shama, which means to be high, to be high. And thus a company of earthborns, exalted to the divine nature, and become Elohim, mighty ones of the Father, exalted to a high and lofty status and position over the earth, the kindreds and the tongues and the peoples and multitudes, they are and they will form the heavens which rule. Is our explanation right? Yes. Come with me to one simple one in the 34th chapter of Isaiah that we can all grasp. 34th chapter of Isaiah, and there, verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear. Hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, the common people, the masses of the earth, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, his fury upon their armies, and so on. And it goes on, verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. Those that rule in the heavens, they're going to be dissolved, and the heavens, the place of rulership, is to be rolled together as a scroll, and their host shall fall down as a leaf. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven, it shall come down upon the people of Idumea. And so it goes on there to introduce to us the matters of Bozrah, the introduction to the wonderful pictures, the dreadful pictures of Armageddon. The heavens that rule. Now perhaps there are objections, brethren and sisters, because some will say, oh, these are the deep things of the truth. These are the deep things of the truth. Well, the truth is deep, brethren and sisters. And it is also profound. And we have to learn, as we have in the Proverbs, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of the kings of the future age to search out a matter. And if we have any doubts, brethren and sisters, of our to understand these things, then if we ask the Father in all humility, and if we are prepared to be taught, then means will be found to show us the wonder of these things. This is perfectly true, but we've got to humble our hearts and be taught. These matters that we're considering, brethren and sisters, of course they are deep things, and as we have said, the truth is deep. But nevertheless, they are the truth. Don't we appreciate that? They are the truth. Nothing else but the truth. And as we progress, perhaps, in instructing the stranger, the time will come when we should instruct him in these wonderful things. And as we teach our little ones, our children, the things of the truth, so, brethren and sisters, we should show them these wonderful things. They should be presented to them. The troubles which abound now amongst the ecclesias are troubles of ignorance. Ignorance, brethren and sisters, of people perish for lack of knowledge. Now these things we're putting or discussing today are the truth. And there's a powerful exhortation, of course, in all this. Don't we realize that by grace and mercy We've been called to be the very elements of the cherubim of glory, the divine agency through which the Spirit will transform this wicked world into one which will abound with His glory. And this is our calling in the anointed Jesus. And if it is our calling, brothers and sisters, to become the cherubim of fire, of lightning, as we shall see in a moment, then, brethren and sisters, how can we be part of the world? Of course we cannot. And the exhortation then is to remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And so it is the understanding of these things, brethren and sisters, which binds us together as a family and generates within us the true love of the Father for His children, that we all may through grace and mercy become part of this wonderful family of the Spirit. And so as we meditate then for a few moments upon this Psalm 68, one sees a wonderful progression of the divine will and purpose with his Israel. Verses 5 and 6, let's look at them. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, the divine character. He setteth the solitary in families and so on. The mercy of the Father, he's one who pitieth his children. And verse 7, yes, as we have already heard, he's one that leads his people through the wilderness. He will lead us, brethren and sisters, if we so desire and if we're faithful. And verse 8, there he will deal with us as he dealt with Israel of old. Remember, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of Elohim in Sinai. It was moved. And there's a Sinai to come, is there not? As we shall see in a moment. And there we have verse 9, the giving of the manna to feed his people. We look, brethren and sisters, for that great day when, found faithful, we shall be allowed to eat of the hidden manna, that manna that was laid up within the Ark of the Covenant. And then we come to the celebration of Miriam. We've already seen that in Numbers 25, the celebration of Miriam, verse 11, and the damsels of Israel as they rejoiced at the coming of the Ark again. And verse 17 refers to the awesome happenings in Sinai, the presence of myriads of angels, of mighty ones, of Elohim. And we note there, brethren and sisters, that the wording is Sinai Bakodesh, which is equivalent, it's positive, it's in Sinai the Holy. And the language then is prophetic. We're taken into the future, the immediate future. And after the reference to Jesus having destroyed the power of death, wonderful matters here, brethren and sisters, thou hast ascended on high and hast led captivity captive, death itself, the master led captive death. So we're introduced to the matters of, yes, the early opening chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, the giving of the Spirit gifts for the man, brethren and sisters, the Christ man, yea, even for, the correct translation, even for Yahweh Elohim to inhabit rebellious ones. The receiving of Spirit gifts, that the Spirit of the Mighty Ones might dwell in Gentiles, by nature dogs, sinners, but become enlightened as to the truth of God. And so here then is a future gathering of the 12 tribes. Verse 23, let's move on. The people said, the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people from the depths of the sea. And then we go on to verse 23, and there it tells us that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of the wicked. And there we're introduced to the modern Jezebel's brethren and sisters and the fate which will await them. He was to Jezebel of old. And then, oh, what rejoicings, brethren and sisters, as Israel is gathered in. And we note the references to the temple in verse 29. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Think of Psalm 72 in this connection. Temple not built in the days of David. It was not built then, brethren and sisters, but it is to be built at the commencement of the kingdom age, and then on to the visions of the kingdom as we have them from verse 31. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto Elohim. Sing unto Elohim, ye kingdoms of the earth. Do we realize the implications here, brethren and sisters? It's the word Elohim, the mighty ones there, of which we hope to become. And here the nations are to sing. And we say it with all humility, brethren and sisters, to sing to us through the work of the Christ, the man at the Father's right hand, in the kingdom age. These are the implications as you read these verses, brethren and sisters. To him that rideth upon the heavens of old, which were of old, and so on. Ascribe ye strength unto Elohim, verse 34. His strength is in the clouds. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. And then, verse 35, O God, O Elohim, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. And then, the ale. How beautiful, brethren and sisters. The ale, the strength or the power, the supreme omnipotent power of the universe, out of which they are all developed. It is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. How beautiful then, brethren and sisters, as we ponder upon these things. Now, this chapter, of course, is dealing, as we have said, with the return of the ark. Now, come with me into the Apocalypse again now. Just look at a verse in chapter 11, or verse 18 and 19. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Summing up, brethren and sisters, all that we have said, all that we have learned, in verse 19, and the temple, the nave, the most holy place, the most holy, was opened in the new political heavens of the age to come. And there was seen in his nave, beyond the veil, through the work of the Christ, there was seen the ark of his testament. How beautiful, brethren and sisters, as we connect scripture together. There was seen the ark of his testament in this wonderful day, which is fast approaching, brethren and sisters. And then we read on. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings. Now, we want to pick up then this matter of the lightning. Now, I'd like to link this word now with the 2nd of Thessalonians. Just let's go to it. The 2nd of Thessalonians and verses 1 to 9. The 2nd of Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And there, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. And so he goes on. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word we want to take out now is the word presence in verse 9. There it says, from the presence of the Lord. Now this word is a Greek word, and it is the word prosopon, prosopon. And it means the visage, the countenance, the face. See what it means. And when we turn to Psalm 80, and we look at verse 3, there it teaches us, turn us again, O mighty ones, and cause thy faces to shine, and we shall be saved. And Psalm 18 speaks of, just let's go to Psalm 18 now. Psalm 18 speaks to us of coals of fire in verse 8, and it could be rendered lightnings in the latter part of verse 8. And in verse 12 we have hailstones and coals of fire, and in verse 14 we have, yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Now here we have a beautiful psalm of David, brothers and sisters. And the face reveals to us, surely, the workings of the brain. As the brain works, so the face then reflects the attitude of the brain. One is made aware, looking at the facial expression, of the thinking of the brain. Whether the attitude is one of love and beneficence towards us, or whether it's one of disapproval. One thinks of Jacob, remember? It says the face of, or the countenance of Laban was changed. This is what Jacob observed. It was not towards him as before. And going back earlier, you remember Cain. His countenance lowered. His countenance was lowered. Now we think then, brethren and sisters, of the eternal spirit. But one says, but one cannot see his face and live. Indeed so. One cannot look upon spirit. Mortal flesh cannot look upon spirit. And therefore the divine attitude has and will be shown in others. In his angels, in the manifestations of his sons. Now in the past then, his approval or otherwise has been revealed and shown in the faces of angels, or in his beloved Son. And in the immediate future, the faces of those who will constitute the cherubim of glory. Now the Elohim then, the mighty ones, appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Appeared to Moses and to Daniel, to Mary, to Jesus, and to the apostles. And they were the faces of Yahweh appearing to them. But, brethren and sisters, after the coming of Messiah, when he comes again to take unto himself his divine authority and to reign, new faces will flash forth and indicate to the nations the feelings of the eternal spirit, possessor of heaven and earth, in regard to their wickedness and to their complete disregard of divine ways. The lightning then, brethren and sisters, shows forth disapproval, destruction, and divine wrath. Now Psalm 18 now, it was penned by David, and it celebrates the wonderful deliveries by the Spirit of David from the hand of Saul. And it also celebrates the great victories which are found in the life of David over his enemies. It is recorded also in the 2 Samuel 22, which gives double emphasis to this matter of this 18th Psalm. And it also very, very beautifully brings before us, interwoven are the sufferings of the Christ, and it points forward to the day of his coming to subdue the nations of our times. And very, very wonderful are the word pictures revealing the work of the Christ body in the fulfilling of the covenants. Now just let's take a few examples. We look at verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills, the mountains were moved. And verse 9, he bowed the heavens also and came down, darkness was under his feet. Verse 10, he rode upon a cherub and did fly. He did fly upon the wings of the wind, the spirit, Ruach. And verse 15, then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Yahweh, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. And oh, brethren and sisters, what a wonderful description we have here of the breaking of the political and ecclesiastical organization of this world, which is a pestiferous odor in the nostrils of the Most High. And here we must appreciate the wrath of our Father in directing towards his wrath, rather, is not directed to unoffending nature, but is directed against the heavens that now rule, against the earth, the masses of rebellious flesh ruled over by those in authority now. Because, brethren, sisters, the hills and the mountains are the political powers of the nations, whose very foundations, as we see in this psalm now, are going to be shaken in this great day of divine wrath. And what is the agency? What is the agency by which this righteous wrath is to be expended? Verse 10, we've already looked at it. And he rode upon a cherub. The eternal spirit rode upon this mighty host now of mighty ones to effect his vengeance upon the nations. He flew upon the wings of the Ruach, the spirit, by the spirit-invested host of the newly developed family of the sons and daughters of the living God, all bearing the character of his beloved Son, all having something of the zeal of a Moses, of an Abraham and a David within their characters. And thus the clouds then, the cloud, the smoke, the brightness, the hail, the stones, the fire, the coals of fire, the lightnings, are all speaking to us of righteous indignation, of the wrath of the Father when it comes up in his face for the controversy of Zion, the day of the controversy of Zion, when he seeks to render accounts with the nations. Now, is our interpretation wrong, brethren and sisters? No, let's go back to Psalm, to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. The interpretation is not wrong, of course it is not. And so there in verse 1, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, the political heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains, the nations, might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known. This is the purpose, to make thy name known among the nations, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. And so it goes on. What a wonderful description, brethren and sisters. And Habakkuk, you remember, or Habakkuk in his prophecy by the Spirit is linked to the matters that we're looking at. You know, just mention one or two verses. Habakkuk chapter 3, again you see the great host developed out of Sinai, the place of judgment. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Verse 3, his brightness was the light, and there was the hiding of his power. Verse 4, before him went the pestilence, burning coals went forth at his feet. And this great, it's the rainbowed angel, which we're going to hear more today, God willing. It's the rainbowed angel, brethren and sisters. He stood and measured the earth in verse 6, and he beheld and drove asunder the nations, the everlasting hills and nations, seeming so everlasting, they were driven away, there were no more. And you come down to verse 8, the latter part of verse 8, that thou didst ride upon thy horses and thy chariots of salvation. Again, you see, the chariots of salvation. And you remember the words of Daniel in the 7th chapter, verse 9, where he says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Oh, think of it, brethren, sister. We're of no account now. We are the poor of this world. We hope rich in faith. And here, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, the Eternal Spirit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair as in his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. More of this when we come to Ezekiel chapter 1. And then Zechariah, oh yes, we must introduce Zechariah. There in the 6th chapter of Zechariah, brethren and sisters, there Zechariah turns, as you read in verse 1, and I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four, oh this number four, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were the mountains of brass. He goes on to tell you the work of the four chariots. And so there we have the Eternal Spirit manifested in the cherubim of the age to come, coming now as in a chariot between the King of the North and the King of the South. The two mountains of brass, the gatherings of the nations, and then the role of the King of the South is to be taken over by the cherubim, the chariots of the Eternal Spirit, of which we hope to be part. And he goes on to tell us later on, and they walked to and fro through the earth, and the north country was quieted by the Spirit of the Father. We had to mention that. And Psalm 99, we haven't touched upon it yet, but Psalm 99, as we go to it, it sums up all these matters for us in a beautiful way. And there, verse 1, it's the throne of Yahweh. Yahweh reigneth, let the people tremble. He dwelleth between the cherubims. He inhabits the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. Yahweh is great in Zion. He is high over all the people. And so we can go on, brethren and sisters. A wonderful psalm now taking us into the future and showing us the sum of all that we have tried to look at in these few brief moments. We're indebted, brethren and sisters, to our brother Thomas for the understanding that we have. Truly, he understood these matters. And can I, in conclusion, bring before you words which really thrill us and which should sober us? He says, lost my page now. Here we are. Well may the apostle exhort believers to walk worthy of God, who has called them to his kingdom and glory. It is indeed a high calling and a great manifestation of divine love bestowed upon men by the Father that he should invite them to become his sons, and when manifested in the divine nature, be in them all things for all. When we contemplate, this is what we've been doing, when we contemplate such a destiny that we are called to be elements of the Spirit glory, the cherubic manifestation of the eternal Spirit which is to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea, we ought indeed to purify ourselves even as he is pure, and to live superior to the mean and the petty considerations of time and sense. Walk worthy of God, worthy of a position in which we shall be isangeloi, equal to the angels, the sons of God, being the children of the resurrection.